Jews nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. So the title of the message is All to the Glory of God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of being able to assemble in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, open the precious Word of God, and allow you to speak to us. We pray that we would open our hearts to hear from you today, that mighty things will be done in our lives. We would grow for you. We would repent if necessary, Lord. Maybe there's some that need to be saved and they would get saved today, but we give it all to you. May you be glorified in this time. We love you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, such an important passage for Christians. We understand that God desires that everything that we do in our Christian lives be done for His glory. Why is that? Well, first of all, He's worthy of it, which we'll talk about later. But second of all, we are now His child. We are His possession. The Bible says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. We belong to Him 100%. Everything about us, we belong to Him. And what does He ask? But that we bring glory to Him. Well, He's worthy of it. He's the God of the universe. But the key phrase here is that whatsoever ye do, all that we do is to be done to the glory of God. Now, there's a difference between glorying before God and glorying in God. And the devil definitely knows the difference. And he tries to often trick us, if you will, into seeking self-glory under the guise of giving God glory. And that is a very dangerous thing, because there is no self-glory. If you would, look at Psalm 29. And I want you to look at a couple scriptures with me this morning about God's glory and how important it is that we understand that we are never, ever, ever given permission for glory to be given in any other direction to man, including ourselves. It all must go to God. Look at Psalm 29, verse 2. The Bible says, that's Proverbs. No wonder. Psalm 29 and verse 2. It says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Now, what would that be? It says, worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. What glory would be due to the name of Jehovah, the Creator of the universe, the one that loves us with an everlasting love? All glory. God says, give unto the Lord the glory due. It's all due to Him. Because of who He is, because of what He's done. But all the glory is to be to the Lord. Look at Isaiah 42 while you're in the Old Testament. I want to show you something about God's glory. Very important truth here. And that truth is this. God is not willing to share His glory with anyone or anything else. That's not being selfish, that's being God. Notice Isaiah 42 verse 8. The Bible says, I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. It's all His. He says, my glory will I not give to another. But every time that we allow glory to come our way, that is stealing God's glory. And so we must be ever, ever diligent to never allow that to happen in our Christian lives. It's all to be to the glory of God. Matthew 5, if you would, verse 16. Jesus Christ made it very clear that all that we do should have that express purpose of bringing glory to God alone. Look at Matthew 5, 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father. Not glorify you. Not say, oh, look at those wonderful works. Aren't you just an amazing Christian? Aren't you just such a wonderful person? No. Glorify your Father. So think about it this morning. If our good works can bring glory to God, how is that possible unless the people who see them know that we are Christians? In other words, lifestyle evangelism doesn't exist. You can't win people to the Lord by doing good works. You got to tell them why you're doing the good works. People aren't just going to naturally see you being a nice person and say, oh, wow, they're obviously doing that because they love the God of the Bible. No, it doesn't work like that. We got to tell them. I live the way I live. I do the things I do because of who has saved me, because of who I love. It's all about Him, you see. You know, David said, I've not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I've declared thy faithfulness unto the congregation. He said, I tell people who I serve. It's all about giving God glory. You know, even if you go to John 11, there's an interesting phrase here in the raising of Lazarus. Now, his sisters thought that Jesus had made a mistake. So did the disciples, by the way. In waiting so long before he came to the situation there with Lazarus. Because Jesus told them in advance, Lazarus is sick. And then later on he said, Lazarus is asleep. And they said, oh, it's good that he's sleeping. And he said, no, I mean, he's dead. But he tarried, the Bible says. He waited. When he heard that Lazarus was sick, rather than rushing to the scene to heal him of his sickness, he waited until he died and then came. And the disciples thought, well, that's strange. Why didn't he go and heal him? The sisters thought, well, why didn't he come and heal my brother? And Jesus says, verse 4 of John 11, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man might be glorified thereby. He waited on purpose so that he could raise Lazarus from the dead so that he could get God's glory. Because Jesus is God. It was all about bringing glory to God. Everything about our Christian life should be about bringing glory to God. That means a complete absence of self-glory. 1 Corinthians 1, please. Just I want to briefly talk about the glory of man. Notice verse 29 of 1 Corinthians 1. The Bible says that no flesh should glory in His presence. Look at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 21, please. 1 Corinthians 3, 21, the Bible says, therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Let no man glory in men. It's all to be to the glory of God. You know, the glory of man, if you go to 1 Peter 1, God gives us a description of the glory of man. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 24, notice what it says here. The Bible says, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man, not just some of it, but it says, all the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. So he's already talked about how the grass withers fast enough, but he's now talking about when the grass, you know, if you don't mow it, you wait long enough, it'll eventually, some of them sprout these little flower thingies. Those don't last very long, do they? They're just there for a day or two and they're gone. He says that's what the glory of man is like, the flower of the grass. And then he says, the grass withereth and the flower thereof falleth away. That's the glory of man. And we have an Old Testament and a New Testament example that God gave us in His Word just to make sure we got the point. Old Testament was Nebuchadnezzar. If you've ever read the book of Daniel, you know what happened to him. Daniel even warned him after he had a dream. Make sure you give God all the glory, but he didn't listen. And one day he was walking in his kingdom and he said, look what I've done. And the Bible says immediately God drove him out, and he got to run around on all fours and eat grass for a while. Wonder why? Grass. And then when it was all done, he came back and said, "All glory to God. God gets all the glory for everything." He learned his lesson. Now Herod, that's a different story in the New Testament, the book of Acts, chapter 12. One day the people were gathered together, and the king Herod, the people shouted and said, "It's the voice of God." And Herod didn't say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, there's only one God." No, it said he reveled in that. He loved it. The people were saying that. The Bible says immediately he died and was eaten of worms. So God gave us an Old Testament example and a New Testament example. Never, ever, ever glory in man. That includes self, by the way. What's our attitude supposed to be? Look at Galatians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul understood. This is the attitude that we must have when it comes to the glory of God. The Bible says, do all to His glory. Notice what Paul says, Galatians 6:14. God forbid that I should what? Glory. Save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Paul knew multiple languages. Paul had a great education. Probably had a decent income prior to getting called. Paul even explains at one point to the Jews that he had everything he needed to have. He had the right pedigree. He could have boasted about it. And as he says here, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. God forbid that we should ever glory in anything but God. Because it's all about God. Now let's go back to our passage. So we see there verse 31 of 1 Corinthians 10. Do all to the glory of God. But it is interesting that now that he's told us this, he gives us some practical outcomes. Verse 32, give none offense. Give none offense. If we give offense, it means it's the opposite of bringing glory to God. We're not here to offend, we're here to win people. And he goes on to say, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. We know what the Bible tells us to do in Matthew 5 if we do offend somebody. Verse 23, thou rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave their gift at the altar. First be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. Why? Because you've offended somebody, and that's the opposite of bringing glory to God. We're here to win people, not offend people. And so if it's all about the glory of God, what did God do but die on the cross for our sins that we might be saved from hell? And we're left here to tell people that great story, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do it all to the glory of God. So give none offense. Notice he says in verse 33, as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Now he's not here talking about financial profit. He's talking about blessings or benefits of life. He says, I'm not here now that it's all about God. And now that I belong to God 100%, it's not about me anymore. It's not about seeking what makes me happy or what pleases me. He says it's what? The profit of many. It's about others. So the practical way that we bring glory to God is by not offending, but instead doing everything we can to touch others for the cause of Jesus Christ, as he says here. So he says here in verse 33, let's go to Galatians 5, verse 13. He says, I don't seek my own profit anymore, but I seek the profit of many. I seek to be a blessing to others, because that brings glory to God. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. By love serve one another. How do we bring glory to God? By reaching out to others. not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many. And I love the last five words of his passage here, that they may be saved. He said it's not about anything else. You know, we've talked about this in our cults class. Why do we have a cults class? Is it so that we can be better at debating the doctrinal issues with the cultists? No. So that we can be better equipped to win them to Jesus Christ. It's all about their soul. It's all about people getting saved. That brings glory to God. And Paul understood this. Go to Romans chapter 1, verse 14. He said, my life now is about others. I'm going to bring glory to God by pushing self aside and focusing on others. Romans 1:14, he says, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. He says, I have a debt, an unpaid debt, to do what? To tell people the good news. To tell them about Jesus. And then look at 1 Corinthians 9, if you would, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul again making it clear that it's not about self anymore. Verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 9, he says, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Look at verse 22. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means, what? Save some. They're not all going to get saved. It doesn't work like that. But some will. Praise God. We did. Somebody told us and we got saved. So that kind of brings it down to real life. Sometimes it's kind of this high thing, high and flighty thing we talk about. I'm going to do all to the glory of God. What does that really mean? Well, obviously, you know, our devotional time, we need to be just giving God all the glory, but it's our life that's supposed to be giving God glory. The things that we say, the things that we do, our life needs to be focused on what God is focused on in dying on the cross and rising again from the dead and giving us the gospel, and that is others. So practically speaking, the best way to bring glory to God, as he says in verse 32, none offense. Verse 33, seek the profit of many that they may be saved. Do what I can to touch others for the one who's worthy of all glory. Jehovah God, the God of the Bible. Everything that we do needs to bring glory to Him and Him alone. As we read in Psalm 29, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. All to the glory of God. Not some, not sometimes, but all to His glory. Let's pray.